Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Wednesday, August 12, 2015. Here are our top stories.
Tonight, signs of the financial apocalypse are here as global stocks plummet after the currency in China declines for the second day in a row, sending fear through investors and a tidal wave of deflation.
The economy is in a far worse position than it was just prior to the last major financial crisis.
Then, the EPA has sovereign immunity, and they won't face fines or penalties for polluting rivers in Colorado because the government doesn't fine itself. And in a surprise move, Hillary Clinton has finally agreed to turn over her private email server to the Justice Department. Will indictments follow? You'll find out up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
We the people will tell our senators and congressmen how to vote.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off super detox special at InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, coming up, we have Gerald Celente, who is going to talk about what's behind all of these movements that we've seen in Chinese currency, where that is all going to lead. Also on the show, we're going to be talking to Craig Richardson of Energy and Environmental Legal. He's going to be looking at the massive power grab of the EPA going after all water, all air, all part of Obama's war on coal and his executive order takeover of our economy. But before we do, let's take a quick look at what's going on in the economic news. Of course, we've had 2 days of decline based on the Chinese reevaluation of their currency. The Wall Street Journal points out cheaper Chinese currency has a global impact. They say Beijing has signaled with its currency devaluation that the domestic economic slowdown it has failed to reverse is no longer a problem. Confined within China's borders, it's now the world's problems, too. They point out that Chinese officials have tried in vain to stimulate the economy. They've cut interest rates 4 times in the past year. They've increased the amount of money that banks can lend out, and they've pumped funds into the stock market. And, of course, they've also been caught with massive leveraging. That was one of the things that sent shockwaves to everyone about a month and a half ago. If you remember, the massive leverage of the Chinese stock market makes them vulnerable to the same kinds of movements and problems that caused the Great Depression in the 1920s. Now, moving on, they say global stock markets have plunged on Chinese currency decline. They say global stocks sold off sharply Wednesday. That's today after China's currency declined for a second day in a row, sending fear through investors. Currencies and commodities were also under pressure after China's central bank allowed the yuan to drop against the U.S. dollar, sparking its largest 2-day decline in decades. U.S. stock markets fell triple digits also for a second day in a row. By mid-morning, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 240 points, and major markets across Asia and Europe also recorded losses between 1 and 3%. They say this move comes after the People's Bank of China shocked the markets by changing the way the yuan's daily trading band is calculated. Many see it as a way to boost exports and provide a lift to the cooling economy. And, of course, that's precisely what it is. It is part of the China price. We're going to talk about that. But first, one of the stocks that declined and one of the important stocks of the Dow Jones average is Apple Computer. They say they suffered a 5% drop in their share price. The currency devaluation is likely to increase import costs of devices for Apple. Of course, it's going to do that to a lot of companies because that's precisely what it was calculated to do. It's calculated to make Chinese exports cheaper compared to other people and make it more difficult for the Chinese to import things from, to buy products from other countries. So Apple is one stock that is going to decline. They fell 5% just on this initial basis. And that brings us to the Chinese price, something, the China price. They've been talking about this for over 10 years. Listen to some of the aspects of what makes China such a powerful economic powerhouse. It's not just because they do such a great job. No, there's a little bit of trickery involved. First of all, there's low wages. We all know about the Chinese low wages. Then there's also piracy and counterfeiting, a big part of the China price. Minimal worker health and safety regulations, lax environmental regulations and enforcement. So they don't care about the health of the workers, the health of the environment. And then, of course, there's subsidies for those who are exporting. And that's essentially what the currency is. But the currency is a separate part of the China price because it has always been a big part of China's battle plans against other world economies. They say a chronically undervalued currency. And of course, just recently, the IMF had said that China's currency was not grossly undervalued. So they made sure that it was again, because that's part of their competitive price. It isn't just that they're doing things more efficiently, that they're working harder. They're basically resorting to things like piracy and currency manipulation. Now, The Guardian is concerned that this may turn into a tidal wave of deflation. They say, make no mistake, this is the start of something big, something ugly. That's the Citi economist Albert Edwards. He's also working with the bank Societe Generale. He argues that as well as creating a challenge for China's Asian rivals by making exports more competitive, a cheaper yuan will send a tidal wave of deflation breaking over the world economy. He points out central banks in the U.S. and U.K. have primed investors for interest rate rises, with the Bank of England pointing to the turn of the year for a move and Janet Yellen at the Fed saying that they could start a tightening as soon as September. But they're not going to be able to raise interest rates when the Chinese are dropping their currency. That's precisely the problem. And deflation is such a dangerous thing because people begin to put off purchases. And if it gets bad enough, it drives you into a depression and into war. That's one of the things we're going to talk to Gerald Celente about. He has a movement that he's trying to start, Occupy Peace. So we'll be talking to him as part of that interview coming up. And finally, what they said is what China's surprise currency devaluation means for its economy and the world. This is the Washington Post. They say the currency's value was the most dramatic one-day change in two decades, as we mentioned earlier. Political leaders throughout the U.S. and Europe and elsewhere have complained that China leaves its currency at a low value to boost its domestic industries. And we just pointed that out. But here's what they, what else they have to say. They say it is sure to ignite a debate over whether the country is giving an unfair advantage to its businesses. Will this be used as leverage to try to ram through the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Transatlantic Partnership, TPP, TTIP? They have already gotten the Trade Promotion Authority that will make it very easy for them to pass this through. And one of the reasons that they have come up with these free trade treaties that they state is because they want to use it as a way to fight China's control, China's manipulation. Of course, we understand, because we've been watching this, that it is about far more than free trade. And it is not about going after China. We know because Senator Sessions has told us that this is going to create a transnational governing committee that will be able to add any country that they wish at any time and change the rules of engagement at any time. So that is something that bears watching. Will this be used as a way to grease the skids towards TPP, to grease the skids towards taking away more of our sovereignty? Now, we've had a lot of people, a lot of economists, Harry Dent, we've had Peter Schiff, we've had Gerald Celente, and of course, he's coming up in just a moment, all warning about massive changes coming up in economically this fall. Where does this all lead? Well, Leanne McAdoo has a breakdown of what people have been predicting as far as an economic apocalypse.
Well, that's right, David. Economists have been warning for some time that something big is about to happen. And here are just a few signs that the day of reckoning is upon us. Obviously, the devaluation of the yuan on Tuesday took virtually the entire planet by surprise. But that's not all. We're also seeing what's called a death cross. That's a very troubling sign. It means the Dow has moved below the 200-day moving average for the first time in the last 4 years. Oil is at a six-year low, but OPEC keeps pumping it out, which means oil prices have fallen to $43.08 a barrel, and they're predicting that that could plunge even further into the 30s. Some recently released numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics says that in one out of every five American families, nobody has a job. So they're calling the unemployment rate sitting at 5.5%. But how is that possible when everyone is unemployed in 20% of the households? It doesn't make any sense there. So obviously household income is falling, which means nobody's spending any money. So we're starting to see a commercial bubble about to burst. Stores are closing, retail jobs are vanishing, and they're calling this the retail apocalypse. In fact, we're seeing a drop in wholesale sales and factory orders in the U.S. Credit requests are being denied in record numbers. U.S. export growth has actually gone negative for the first time since the last recession. The rate of home ownership in the United States has just hit a brand new 25-year low, which means we are a nation of renters, and that's not going to be changing anytime soon, especially with the pending student loan bubble that is clearly bursting. According to Bloomberg, only 37% of all student loan borrowers are actually up to date on their payments and reducing their balances. So, you know, also we got the bond market booming, subprime lending is making a comeback. So all of these things are just signs that something big is about to happen. Don't forget, it's a Shemitah year as well. We've gone in depth with what that means. So these are cycles, actually 7-year cycles that we're seeing here. And people are always wanting to believe that somehow things are going to be different this time. But frankly, the only thing that's different this time around is that the economy is in a far worse position than it was just prior to the last major financial crisis.
Now, as China has created massive chaos, not only in the stock markets, commodity markets, but with entire economies, the way this is going to shake out, by manipulating the currency, we have a government that is using executive orders to essentially shut down our economy. We're going to be talking to Craig Richardson of Energy and Environmental Legal about the EPA's massive power grab, not just coming after the air and the water, but also coming after everything that they can get. They're coming after energy as well. Now, joining us now is Gerald Salenti. Gerald is a trends forecaster since the 1980s. He's been accurately teaching people how to survive, how to prepare, and how to prevail. His organization is Trends Research Institute. You can find that at trendsresearch.com. He publishes Trends Journal as well. Joining us now is Gerald Salenti. Of course, the markets were amazed to see what China had done, but Gerald wasn't. We talked back in the turn of the year as to what he thought would happen. I remember, Gerald, you holding up newspapers and saying, look at what they're not showing in the Wall Street papers and the U.S. papers, but look at what they're showing in China, a massively overvalued real estate market at the time. And, of course, this move in currency is trying to pump some life into the market that the central controllers haven't been able to do in China.
Yes, and it's not going to work. The big fiction out there is that when currencies devalue, then you can sell your products overseas for more money. What they're not putting together is the reason is people have no money to buy these products, and you have an oversupply of commodities. That's why you see all these commodities crashing. So what happened last week? China announced its exports were down over 8%, and they've been down all year long. So now they're devaluing their currency, hoping that they could export more. Will they? A little bit. But that's not going to solve the problem, because you have commodities crashing around the world. You look at the Bloomberg Commodity Index, David, it's back down to 2002 levels. Let's go back to 2002. The criminal in chief, the guy that started the war in Iraq, weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. People forget this. His popularity rating was crashing just days before 9/11. You can look it up.
Yeah.
Just gotten elected several months earlier. We were in a recession. After 9/11, go to Disneyland, go buy stuff, boost the economy, 46-year low interest rates. Okay, go back to that low level. That's where commodity prices are, because there's a global slowdown. Now, China absorbs some 50%, for example, of the raw materials such as coal, iron ore, copper. You look at iron ore prices, you go back to 2011, it was $191 a metric ton. Now it's floating around at 50 bucks. Copper at six-year lows, one after another. So what they're doing in China, and their imports are down as well, so that people in China aren't buying more. So now what they're trying to do with lowering their interest rate, their yuan value, is to export more. Now, you read all of the headlines from yesterday's newspapers. Surprise, it was a surprise, it was a surprise. It was no surprise. Go back to our trends in the news. We put the video clip there from July 27th. I said, I read what they were saying, and I said, you know what they're really saying? They're saying that they're going to devalue their currency to boost their economy. It's right here, and no one's paying attention to it. But it came out. It's a big surprise. I even said on our Trends in the News broadcast, how do you say capisce in Chinese? You understand? You know, that's what it means in Italian. That's so right. We saw this coming. Now, there's another level going on. Look, it's not only the Chinese now that have devalued their yuan. You're looking at all the devaluations of currencies around the world. Up here in Canada, not too far from us, you have the loonie down to 2004 levels. Why? They can't sell their oil, their tar sands. So what does that mean? How about go to Brazil? Rich in natural resources. They're not selling stuff either. Their real is down to what? 13, 16-year lows, depending what day it is. Let's put this together. Suppose you had Brazilian reals or Canadian dollars, and gold is priced in U.S. dollars, and you're watching your currency decline. You wish you had gold, and no one's talking about that. Gold today is up, what, about 15 bucks. And you guys know me for a long time. I've always said I was not buying gold because of inflationary fears, but currency devaluation realities.
Exactly. Hang on, Gerald. We got to go to a commercial break. We're going to be right back with Gerald Celente. I want to talk to you about deflation and the possibility of depression. And, of course, we're also going to talk about what follows, and that's war. We'll be right back.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars Life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. I wanted to bring Weldon Henson in here briefly because we have a great sponsor. Boy, I've sure been enjoying the firearms that I've gotten from them. HDfirearms.com. That's Head Down Firearms. They have super high quality 223s, 308, you name it. It's called 556, technically, in the 223, that are guns that would be $3,000 or $1,500. Guns that would be $1,500 or $900.
Well, the important thing to remember is that if you're not in the market to buy a brand new rifle, you have an AR-15, you have an AR-10 platform 308 rifle. They've got everything you need to upgrade it. Buy a new part, buy a new trigger, buy a new muzzle brake, buy a new handrail. It's all an upgrade for your rifle because these are all superior top-of-the-line quality products made in America.
Tell folks about their low-profile series.
Well, this is an important thing to have. This is untraceable. Anybody can get this kit right here. You don't have to go through a federal firearms license place. You can have it shipped right to your house.
This is what the traders have been trying to shut down.
Absolutely. So you basically have everything you need besides a lower receiver, because that's what's traceable, that's what's serialized, and that's what the federal government's after. But you can get this right here. Get your own lower receiver any way you want. There's different programs. All you got to do is your own research, and you can find out how to get a lower receiver so that you can put it on this. Maybe you already have a lower receiver from an AR from way back that you just don't quite use anymore. It's old, something like that. You can throw it on this. You basically have a brand new rifle, and you saved money by putting it together yourself and buying this kit right here, which is cheaper than the actual rifle.
And they've got the highest quality barrels, the highest quality triggers. We're not just saying that. Go look at the third-party reviews. Tell them about the new rifle they're producing that's getting amazing reviews. And then I just got one, this 308.
Yes, that is very...
Arcadius.
Arcadius. That's very exciting. They just came out with their own line of AR-10 platforms, which is basically an AR-15, but instead of it being a 5.56, it shoots a 308 round, which I know you personally like shooting a 308.
I like them both. And, I mean, just to be clear, they've always, for years, been making this for the big manufacturers, the high-end. They're just now not private labeling. They're putting out their own guns.
Yes. Well, the one they sent you, I'm actually jealous of, is a beautiful gun. It's set up and configured for long-range shooting, marksmanship-type things.
Just the scope alone is something to snuggle with.
Yeah, it's a Vortex 4x16 scope, which you can get a head down as well, their distributor. And I think things for people to remember is that if you want a 308, you don't have to get the 18-inch barrel. You don't have to get the 22-inch barrel. You don't have to get it set up for marksmanship. You can get one with a 16-inch barrel that's set up for more of an assault weapon type, you know, configuration. So anything you want, people, just call head down. You can get anything you want made there and any configuration you might want on your rifle. They're able to do that, and they have 100% perfect customer service ratings there.
Bottom line, it's not just firearms, a ton of accessories, very affordable, and it supports the InfoWar. If you're not shopping at HDFirearms.com, you're not helping the InfoWar. I mean, this is a win-win. Thank you all for your support. Check them out today. Thank you, Weldon.
Welcome back. And of course, we've been talking to Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. Just before we went to the break, he was telling us why gold is going up, and we've seen all these other commodities dropping. But of course, another component, one of the things that we want to talk to Gerald about is, as the economy tanks, as things get worse, there's always, of course, the out that the government leaves itself of war. Gerald is addressing that as well. He's got an Occupy Peace organization. They're going to start with their first meeting this fall. So we want to talk to him and get the details about that, because that's where this is ultimately heading, isn't it, Gerald?
Yes, you know what I always say, and you're seeing it now. You have a currency war going on. Currency wars, and why are they lowering their currencies? As I said earlier, because they want to do more trade. Currency wars, trade wars, world wars. All you have to do is go back to World War II.
Exactly.
It's very clear. And in looking at the commodities and the currencies, let's put it together. Again, we just put out a trend alert today. And we said about, it was no surprise about the Chinese devaluation, and a new surprise is coming. And the new surprise, David, is get ready for a global equities meltdown. You look what happened in the markets. They were way down today. Right at the end, man, they pop them back up. Look what happened when gold went down several weeks ago. It began in China. Yeah, you know, the ones that are rigging the Shanghai Index, or they rigged the Shanghai Gold Index, Gold Fund 2. And here's what they did. Every day they trade maybe about, on the exchange, the gold exchange in China, about 16 tons a day. All of a sudden, the Japanese market was closed that day, so that was the only major Asian market open. Within 2 minutes, they dumped 33 tons of gold on the market. I'm not making this up. Not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact. The governments are doing everything they can to keep this phony Ponzi scheme going by pumping in cheap dough, shorting gold, and trying to make it look like their currencies are worth more than the digital paper they're not printed on. So we're looking at, as we state in this and we lay out all the facts, you have a currency crisis and you have commodities plunging. How could anybody not see this? So they're coming out with this story now. Oh, we have to get some inflation. What are you talking about? The reason they got deflation is because prices are going down because there's more supply than demand. The jobs stink. You know the numbers. You guys write them. I go to your site. What was the wages last month they came in? Oh, they went up at a 0.2%, lowest number since they started recording this stuff. And it's not only here. You have it again, when your commodities are crashing in resource rich countries, the people are out of work. So what they're leading us to, again, currency wars, you're hearing little Chucky Schumer all of a sudden shooting off his fat little mouth over here in New York about how we got to do something about the Chinese devaluing their currency, and this isn't the way you do things. Who are these people, these hypocrites, that come up with BS like too big to fail? You little son of a gun. How about quantitative easing, Charlie, that you gave all the big companies this cheap dough to do mergers and acquisitions that are now at levels, historic highs, reaching levels beyond 2007, Charlie, and you're yelling about the Chinese? Charlie, oh, I forgot the cheap dough that you can now buy back stocks from these big companies so they boost their stocks and the big cats make more dough, Charlie. So now they're yelling at China. So this is what you're seeing coming together here. Currency wars, trade wars, world wars. And that's why we're launching OccupyPeace.us is the website. Because if we don't fight for war, these psychopaths are going to have us die in war. And I don't want to die for war.
Absolutely. Before we go to the Occupy piece, when you were talking about the trade issues, I'm concerned that with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Transatlantic Partnership hanging over our heads, we've already had the fast-track authorization put through. And, of course, one of the ways that they were trying to run this through was to use China as the foil over here to say that we have to run these quote-unquote trade deals. And you and I know that this goes far beyond free trade. We can have a discussion about what free trade should be. This is a secret agreement that's being negotiated by these corporate lobbyists. And once they get this run through, as we've been told by Senator Sessions, they'll be able to add China or any country that they want to after the fact. They'll be able to change the agreement as they wish without any input from any of the nations that signed up on it. What's your take on this, Gerald? Do you think that this is something that they will use as leverage to try to ram these things through, scaring the people about how we have to group together to counter China?
That's a wonderful, wonderful observation. First one I heard on that. And thinking about it, you're exactly right. What they're going to do now is demonize China for devaluing their yuan, blaming the declining U.S. exports because, what do we export anymore? When you have a global slowdown and you see what's going on with the oil companies, Caterpillar, and there are other stocks like that that need boosting economies to export their product, they're going to blame the slowdown in exports on China. And that's the reason why, Mr. Knight, we have to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because it's in the best interest of the American people, and we're going to bring jobs back to America, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to give monopolies to the corporations that are negotiating this agreement. That's what we're going to do. We're going to lose our sovereignty, as Senator Sessions has pointed out, to a transnational governing committee that will be able to rewrite this deal as they see fit. Now, I want to go to the Occupy Peace movement that you're starting here, OccupyPeace.us. I saw this article, Gerald, from Motherboard. A former drone pilot's guilt kept him awake at night. He says, I feel like it destroyed my soul. I stopped sleeping because I started dreaming about my job. I couldn't escape it. When I spoke to people about my experiences, he said, I had people who called me a traitor, telling me I should eat a bullet. This is where this is headed. Of course, this was something that they said would not leave the kind of psychic scars on drone pilots that we'd seen on jet pilots, on bomber pilots, on soldiers on the ground. And yet they do, because they understand what's behind this. And of course, this is the ultimate end game when all of their economic leverages fail, or I should say when they come to fruition, then they pull the war game on us, don't they?
As I said, currency wars, trade wars, world wars. All you have to look is World War II. We're holding occupied peace at the most historic four corners in the United States. The only place where there's a pre-revolutionary war stone building on each corner. The seeds of democracy was sown here. And we're honoring thy founding fathers by bringing home the troops. No foreign entanglements. Madison, Adams, Franklin, George Washington, a real warrior's farewell address. No foreign entanglements. The world was at war back then. Bring home all the troops, close the bases, protect the homeland, and put the troops to work to rebuild our rotted infrastructure and force Congress, as per the Constitution, to vote to go to war. And one other caveat, referendums on each state ballot that we, the people, will tell our senators and congressmen how to vote because they're just paid off. And we're the ones that pay for the war with our money and our lives.
Absolutely. That's a great movement. I certainly wish you the best of luck. Again, that's OccupyPeace.us to find information about that. That's going to be September 20th, 2015. A rally kicks it off in Kingston, New York. And Gerald, I certainly hope you can pull this off because you know exactly what we need. You see the trends coming. I see the trends as far as this political aspect goes. We can see what's going to happen if we don't turn this around. Very, very important for us to do that. Keep up with Gerald Celente at trendsresearch.com. Thank you so much, Gerald.
Thank you, David.
Stay with us right after the break. We're going to have more news, and then we're going to talk to Craig Richardson of Environment and Energy Legal. He's going to tell us what and who are behind Obama's war on coal. We'll be right back.
Al Capone owed $150,000 in back taxes to the IRS, and he went to prison. Al Sharpton, he owes $4.5 million, and he goes to dinner at the White House.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Shane Steiner. A lot of you have been following my progress using Superman Vitality. The last 19 weeks has been an incredible experience. I was feeling a little down and lethargic during the holidays, and none of the supplements that I was taking were doing any good. That's when my longtime friend from high school, Alex Jones, introduced me to Superman Vitality. I was a little skeptical at first. Not only would I have the energy to work out and go to the gym, but it was actually the changes were happening to my body a lot more rapidly. My whole mood, my libido, everything had completely changed. The concentrated organic herbs, they stimulate your natural systems to produce the natural hormones that you need. I just really wanted to bulk up and hit it hard, and I went in for about the first 5 weeks and was lifting heavy weight and just really hitting it hard, and I gained 20 pounds of muscle immediately. Since that, I've decided I was going to lose some weight and slim down. I just changed up my workout a little bit, and 35 pounds came off. Folks, this is not a joke. This is not a gimmick. It's real. Super Male Vitality, available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and could not be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process.
Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical-grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, as we pointed out at the beginning of the program, China rocked the world's markets this week for the benefit of China. But in this country, the Obama administration is attacking America. They have a war on coal. They have a war on water. We're going to talk about the war on water in just a moment. And after the break, we're going to talk to Craig Richardson from E&E Legal about the war on coal. What's behind that? Who are the backers? Who is pushing that? Who stands to benefit? Now, in terms of politics, today we see the Clinton campaign is trying to calm their supporters. This is after the FBI has taken the Clinton private email server over to investigate it. This is they've had several classified documents that they have now found on her emails. One of the documents, at least, has been designated above top secret. The exact classification is sensitive compartmented information. In other words, it's compartmentalized information. Not only is it top secret, but only certain people are allowed to have it. And of course, that's one of the key ways that the government is able to control people who work with them, and that's through compartmentalization. All this is having an effect on Clinton, and that's good to see. Bernie Sanders is now leading her in New Hampshire, 44 to 37. It's good to see that when we uncover criminal activities on the part of a candidate, that it does have at least some effect. Still, 37% of the people still like her and would vote for her. But of course, she's not the only one who's doing this. We see that Chris Christie has a court that is allowing him to hide $1 million in American Express charges. Isn't it interesting that those people who are so adamant about spying on us are so adamant about keeping their information secret? And of course, Chris Christie, as we saw in the debate, as we've seen many times, is one of the biggest cheerleaders for the Patriot Act, for the surveillance state that is out there. But don't look at any of his information. You're not allowed to see how they're spending this money. But let's look at what was uncovered. This is from NewJerseyWatchdog.org. They say, based on secret evidence, a New Jersey court is now going to allow Governor Chris Christie to hide American Express bills that show how his state police security team charged more than $1 million to pay for out-of-state travel. You see, those who tell you that you have to surrender all your privacy for security, they know that when you give up your privacy, it makes you less secure. His argument was that if they were to tell you how these Secret Service agents, actually they're not Secret Service, they're his own highway patrol or whatever that he's got there in the state, if they were to tell you what they're doing, then that would put his life in jeopardy. He knows that exposing everything doesn't make anybody safer, yet that's the narrative that Chris Christie and the rest of them sell us all the time. It's interesting to note that this amount of money is 22 times higher than what John Corzine spent. John Corzine, the guy who ripped everyone off with MF Global, that guy spent less than a 20th of what Chris Christie is doing. And of course, what he's doing with this is he's got a security detail that travels with him around the country as he's doing Republican fundraising, as he's running for governor, and he's offloading all that onto the New Jersey taxpayer. Now, it's interesting because you said if we were to tell you how they're spending their money for food, lodging, and transportation, that could endanger my security. And yet when he was talking to the Cub Scouts, one of the Cub Scouts said, how many security people do you have watching you? And he said, well, I've got about six. But he says, altogether, there's about 30 guys that follow me around. Well, if he can tell that to the Cub Scouts, if he can do that in a public forum, then maybe that's not something that's going to endanger his security. You know, it was about 110 years ago that they started first giving Secret Service protection to presidents, let alone governors like this. This is the kind of country we've turned into. After McKinley was assassinated, it took them several years. Eventually, they said, well, we'll give two Secret Service agents to guard the president. Now we have armies of them guarding the president. Now we have many times more people than that guarding just a New Jersey governor who doesn't stand a chance of becoming president, we hope. But let's turn now to Obama's war on water. And, of course, this is from Politico. They're pointing out that the Obama administration is using executive orders and working with the EPA, who are always trying to expand their territory, to push a war on water. They say industries like agriculture, oil, and home building are lining up to attack a rule that is aimed at protecting wetlands and waterways. And this is a couple of months ago, but now this is being shoved through. They say opponents condemn it as a massive power grab, but bureaucrats are going to use it as carte blanche to swoop in and penalize landowners. This is an adjunct to the Clean Water Act. And, of course, you bring government in to solve a problem. They solve that problem in some cases. Sometimes they don't, but they always get larger. Mission creep. And before you know it, the guys turn into unbelievable creeps with a bureaucracy trying to build that into an empire. That's precisely what we see happening here with these people. Boehner has spoken out against it. Interestingly enough, he said the administration's decree to unilaterally expand federal authority is raw and tyrannical power grab that will crush jobs. This is a 43-year-old Clean Water Act that covered navigable waters that was originally meant to be things like the Mississippi River, Lake Erie, but now they're trying to extend it to essentially every piece of water on the planet. And as they're pushing this, trying to finalize this, of course, we've had the massive spill out in Colorado. We learned today, as if we didn't know, the EPA will not face fines for polluting the rivers with these toxic metals. Very interesting to see what's happening here and the reactions to it. They say, unlike BP, which was fined $5.5 billion for the 2010 Deepwater Horizon disaster, the EPA will pay nothing in fines for unleashing the Animas River spill. They say sovereign immunity, the government does not fine itself, said a former assistant attorney general for the Justice Department. Of course, they don't come after themselves when they openly violate the law either. And you're not going to see the people, if it was an accident, you're not going to see anyone lose their job over this or get fined personally for it. Instead, they will use this as an excuse to say that they need more money, more power. Nevertheless, New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez and other lawmakers have called on the EPA to hold itself to the same standards it would a private company in the aftermath of Wednesday's accident. Spread to New Mexico, the New Mexico governor and other lawmakers have called on the EPA to hold itself to the same standards it would a private company in the aftermath of the accident. Now, this is now 3 million gallons. When it was first reported, it was said to be 1 million gallons. And then within a couple of days, it got to three times that. And as they point out, it's going to be taxpayers who will foot the bill. If we want to know how the EPA would handle this if it was an individual, not just a company, but one individual, we can look about a year ago. We know exactly how they handled it with Andy Johnson. This was a fellow who had 8 acres in Wyoming. He put a stock pond up, and they came after him for $75,000 a day fine. And he hadn't polluted anything. The water in his stock pond wasn't going anywhere. It was completely contained on his property. He had gotten the Wyoming State Engineer's Office to test it and said all legal requirements of the State Engineer's Office had been met. Nevertheless, the EPA came onto his private property, clearly out of their jurisdiction, clearly expanding the jurisdiction of this clean water definition. And then, to add insult to injury, they said that they were without trial, without conviction, without a jury. They were going to garnish his wages to take that vast amount of money. That's the way the EPA rolls. But now let's look at this story that came out today from Kit Daniels. Is it an inside job, what happened in the Colorado Animas River? They say the EPA may have intentionally polluted the Animas River. Kit Daniels' report, he says, before the EPA polluted the Animas River, a retired geologist revealed the agency was likely looking for an excuse to build a multi-million dollar water treatment plant near Silverton, Colorado. The geologist, Dave Taylor, wrote an editorial on July 30th that predicted the EPA's plugging plan, which ultimately led to the August 6th spill, would fail, and the agency would likely use the failure to seek superfunding. Remember what I said? Whenever they fail, they always use that as an excuse to get larger. So he points out, he's a geologist of 47 years. He said, you're going to plug this thing up. Pressure is going to build up. It's going to explode into the river. And then you're going to come back and say, well, plan A didn't work, so I guess we'll have to build a treatment plant at a cost to taxpayers of $100 million to $500 million. And he said this about a week before it actually happened. He's watched how these people roll. So have we. We know exactly what they're trying to do, always creating a demand for more of their regulatory services. Well, that's the war on water. Stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk to someone about the war on coal. It's not just the environmentalist against the big businesses. There's big businesses on the other side. Who are they? What do they want? We'll be right back.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Vote for Jeb, or you're just f***ing stupid.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introduction. Offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com.
Now, we've talked a lot about Obama's war on coal. He mentioned before he ran as president that his intention was to shut down the coal industry. And now we see him moving to do just that with executive orders with the EPA. But, of course, there's also other organizations that are joining in on this, organizations like the Sierra Club, philanthropists like Michael Bloomberg. We're told that they just want to see a clean environment, and yet we're going to find out from our next guest that they actually have an economic interest in opposing the coal industry. They're offering some other solutions. Joining us now is Craig Richardson. He's a veteran of nearly 30 years, communications and campaign experience. He's the executive director of E&E Legal. That's Energy and Environment Legal Institute. They advocate responsible resource development, sound science, respect for property rights, and a commitment to markets, as it holds accountable those who seek excessive, destructive government regulation that's based on agenda-driven policy and junk science. And I think nothing describes the EPA better than that last phrase there, Craig. Government regulation based on agenda-driven policy and junk science. That's what we see from the EPA, as well as their massive grab for power. coming after energy now. We've had the governor of West Virginia say that the EPA is trying to become the controller of our energy grid.
Well, that's correct. And I think, sadly, they had a very good purpose in the beginning. Back in the 70s, we had some issues, obviously, with the environment, and they came along and it came into existence, and they did some things with the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. You probably remember the lakes on fire in Cleveland and things, and we, you know, we were abusing things in our natural resources, and they came along and I think did some very good things. But somewhere along the line, we've gone from that now to, as you put it, a tremendous power grab. And when we're talking about the environment and energy together, the two have now completely linked, and that never was the same. The environment and its concern for that was primarily in the area of conservation. Now the environment is being used essentially to shut down, in this country anyway, the coal-fired power plants, which is an extraordinarily important element to our energy system, and energy affects every aspect of our lives when you think about it, from our iPhones to our hospitals to our electricity to our heating. I mean, it literally means the difference between life and death, and it's that important.
And, of course, it's agenda-driven, and they're pushing for central control. And as the governor of West Virginia said, they're taking over the responsibilities that have typically been done at a local and or state level. They're now moving and centralizing that at the federal government. That's something that should concern everyone. But I want to get to this report that you did at E&E Legal about big donors and big conflicts, how wealthy donors use the Sierra Club to push their agenda. And, of course, the first person on the list there is Michael Bloomberg. We've seen that Michael Bloomberg has a lot of agendas that he pushes. He's giving tens of millions of dollars to the Sierra Club. Tell us what his interest is in this.
Well, you know, he's obviously a Wall Street guy from the beginning. He knows New York through and through, was the mayor of New York. What we did last fall was we started at looking at the Sierra Club. Now, the Sierra Club is one of the, has one of the greatest reputations of any of the environmental groups. It's one of the original ones. John Muir was their founder in the late 1800s. And it really was a kind of a canoe and kayak sort of organization at the local level. And they cleaned up the rivers and streams and provided people an opportunity to get involved with their environment. And it did good things until, essentially the mid 1990s. And so we started saying, well, what happened to them? And so we looked at, we started originally looking at their foundation, which is a C3 organization, nonprofit. And we found, lo and behold, that 8 of their 18 board of directors were also directly involved with renewable energy companies, either directors or CEOs or owners. And what the war on coal is essentially is demonizing and in their words, closing down, nearly 200 coal-fired power plants. And what is the logical and what else are they pushing in terms of what's going to replace that? Well, that's renewable energy. And so we filed a referral with the IRS saying that that's in violation of nonprofit tax laws. You can't have your board of directors personally benefiting from what the organization's mission is. And if you're out there trying to shut down your competitor and you're poised to set up in terms of renewable energies, that's a clear conflict.
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me. And then we expanded that this spring with a more investigatory portal online called Sierra Club Unearthed, which is an investigatory, as I said, website where you can go now and take a look at some of the other things we've done. But following up on the report last fall, we decided, okay, we looked at originally at the Sierra Club members themselves. Well, what about their financial backers? And lo and behold, you mentioned some of them already, Bloomberg. What ended up happening at the late 80s, early 90s, was a lot of these family foundations, including Rockefeller and Hewlett and Packard and a lot of the other ones, started getting very involved in the environmental movement. And we thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And so what we discovered in a number of the cases that they, too, were pushing this renewable energy spectrum. In Bloomberg's case, not only was he pushing that, as he claims, for his grandchildren's sake, but he's also in a media business, as you are, and his media business is geared towards financial investors, and they look, and so he pushes out this propaganda all the time about how great renewables are and how bad coal-fired power plants are. And then if that wasn't bad enough, then he bought one of the most influential inside Washington, inside the Beltway publications. So these are Bureau of National Affairs or BNA publications. And so he's trying to basically lock down the message that coal is bad, renewables are good, and the reality is it's the opposite. Renewables have been around for 30 or 40 years. They can't be the only way they can survive is if they're propped up by massive government subsidies, and they don't work, and they're unreliable. Wind, for example, is extraordinarily unreliable. You can never run a grid off of just wind because the wind doesn't blow all the time, and solar has its own problems. So, you know, clearly there are financial incentives for Bloomberg and other ones to do this. The other area we discovered is that people like Hewlett in particular, and this is a strain that goes back a long time, 70s, we saw a lot of this population control activities going on. But these people fundamentally believe that there are too many humans in the world.
Well, it's interesting when you mention that, because in the first debate that they had with Fox last Thursday night, one of the questions to Jeb Bush was, you're part of the Bloomberg Foundation, and you gave over $10 million to Planned Parenthood. And he says, well, I was an executive director there, but we were really kind of pushing education. Of course, that was Common Core. I don't know how that really got him out of the hot water with the conservatives. But he says, yeah, I joined Bloomberg to push Common Core. They're giving money to Planned Parenthood. They're pushing an anti-CO2 agenda, which, yeah, I understand with renewables, if you're not on the grid, you can do some things on your own. If you're in an off-grid situation, it can be very useful for self-reliance. They don't work well on the grid, but there also is an agenda to push global governance, to push global taxation in the name of these carbon credits and exchanges and essentially buying energy indulgences. I mean, all of these different things are rolled together. It's always the same thing. It's always the depopulationists who are coming in with the climate change agenda and trying to shut down anything that emits CO2.
Well, the problem that I have with climate change, you know, why do we call it climate change? Well, because it was global warming in the beginning, and then unfortunately for them, the narrative didn't follow through because we've been in a cooling period nearly 20 years now.
That's right. Yeah, climate change doesn't mean anything, does it?
Well, no, it's a beautiful, really how do you argue against that, right? I mean, the climate change every day, right? So I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is ultimately about control. It's about, if you can, I mean, look at what they did. They came out with healthcare, right? So we got universal healthcare in America. That's so now they're trying to control the health through that. And then if you can lock down energy, I mean, I'm not sure how much is left. I mean, those are two huge areas.
You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about, Craig, and we're almost out of time. We've got less than a minute left. Talk about the Hewlett-Packard Foundation, because I think this is interesting. They're part of the globalist depopulation movement, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, both of them are. We don't have direct information about Packard giving to Sierra Club directly, and that was our focus. But both Hewlett and Packard, which would be, and then they kind of joined forces as businessmen. But yeah, they're both big into this population control. It's part of this sort of elite foundations curriculum, if you will. I mean, they've been involved with this, and Soylent Green came out in the 70s.
Yes,
I mean, this has
been
around for a long time.
That's all the time we've got. Thank you for joining us, Craig Richardson of Energy and Environment Legal Institute. That's E&E Legal. And you can find more information about that on the video. We'll list their website. You can see that on the lower thirds. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And, of course, when you're talking about energy, you're controlling lifestyle and lifespan. Controlling energy, transportation, that's about controlling people. It's Agenda 21. Well, that's it for tonight. If you're not a Prison Planet TV subscriber, please support our operation. One subscription can be shared with up to 20 people. You can get it every night as it happens, Monday through Friday, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can share that with others, as well as all of Alex Jones's documentaries. Join us again tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.